to the Minivade Gang podcast for Friday, May 7th, 2010. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Graham Thickens.
I am here in soaking wet Bloomington. And ready to go.
There you go. And filler up Wilson. Like you've never heard that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the music, nice choice. Kind of a Pretenders meets Tom Petty feel there.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, very I cool. Just aim to please.
I know.
Yeah. So what's been going on? We had a lot of stuff going on. Well, Graham, you and I today were at Business Card 2's user conference event downtown.
Hey, we should point out, though, that we're doing our podcast on Friday afternoon rather than Saturday. So let's not give the illusion you people were up early, because you weren't.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, we sleep until the very last second.
We'll think it's on coming out on Saturday because it'll come out on Friday night now.
There you go.
Maybe. You right? Never know. Steve could get, you know, Steve could go to happy hour and the whole thing could go to hell.
There's likely unlikely chance of that, but you never know. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to have a special guest on from Mixmobi. Kelly, is it Heikala?
Yes, Kelly Heikala. He's one of the co-founders of Mixmobi and also the brains, the tech brains of the outfit. So, but that's coming up in a little bit. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. And you and Graham were going to discuss Business Card 2. And the users conference.
Yeah. So today... and Graham, you can just chime in here, but
sure.
Leif Larson, Workface Inc., product offering called Business Card 2, and it's essentially a web container that you can collapse all your stuff in. And on Minivate, there's a tab on the right-hand side. 25 people have already dropped their cards into Minivate. So on the homepage, you can see those cards.
And I'm one of them.
Yep, absolutely. Well, in fact, you were one of the screenshots, Phil.
When they had a screenshot.
Yeah, they had a screenshot of your card and the Minivate site and so forth.
We were looking at your smiling face for about the last 15 minutes. It was like the final slide, and they just left it sitting up there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about that. I really apologize.
Well, and the most difficult thing for both Graham and I were not to find a way to draw a mustache on it, but you know.
You can see you with your laser pointer.
That's right. That's right. But what was interesting was listening to where they're at now and where they're headed and the technologies they're going to bake in. And they were asking for feedback. You know, it's a flash container now. And they talked about doing a HTML. They're in the process of doing an HTML5 mobile version of it. And
well, they better or they're just not going to show up on Apple products.
Yeah, there's that.
Had their developer there that was working on that, and it's quite a development effort that they have going on, and the two new features that they particularly wanted to focus on was the new chat feature, which is live now, which I think was quite a technological feat, because it allows not only other users of Business Card 2 to chat with you online just from one of your little tabs in your business card, but it allows anonymous people who aren't users yet, or you know, you can be chatting with anybody on the web via this feature. And they also talked about a new Q&A feature where you can ask questions via your business card of other users. I don't know if that's open to anonymous users or not, or if you get that, Steve?
No, anonymous. That was his big point, was you have to be authenticated. You have to be actual business card to a person. But the thing about the chat that I found interesting, I don't know if you agree, Graham, but was that it uses the open source Jabber protocol. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so you can open up iChat or Trillion or a number of other IM clients.
Skype included, yep, I believe.
Create a user profile and account, and you're off and running. And then you have, when somebody looks up your business card, it'll say whether or not you're online at that moment. So pretty nice execution on it.
Yeah, they worked pretty hard on that, but that was the first actual demonstration I'd seen of it. I haven't used it, and they encouraged us to use it and maybe start chatting with each other, which we'll have to do just to see how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
And there were, I don't know, there were probably, 50 or 60 users there, and a lot more people following it online on Twitter. And they were doing their best to try to merchandise the hashtag, because there are a lot of business card users that are based all over the country and maybe outside the U.S. too, that I'm sure will be interested in the update of what they're adding, all the new features they're adding and things that they're working on down the line. So what were some of the things they said that are coming, Steve? The web page to allow blogging and content, what did they call it? Content sharing?
Yeah, essentially what they want to do is they want to have, an ability for you to have a presence so that you can have a landing page for your business card. So it's not just Business Card 2, which is portable. You can embed it on your blog or on any web page or on Facebook and so forth. But also to be able to have a place that people can come in, and if they do ask you questions and opt in to have that question and the answer be public, then it's a place to have that published. And I find that really intriguing. As you know, you notice that I asked the question during it of Jeremy, the developer, lead developer. I asked him specifically, you could almost build, an FAQ list out of that. Because if people keep asking the same sorts of questions, mm-hmm. Why not have a list of answers right there and they can just look at those first?
Sure. Sure.
So,
yeah, they've thought of a lot of stuff. I mean, it's, there's quite an effort that's gone into this and they've been working on it for a couple of years now when Leaf first started working on it, and there's quite a lot under the covers. And, I think people should watch it and use it and give it a try. And you can put this find a professional feature on any website or any blog, and you can call it whatever you want. We on Minovate, we just opted for the default find a professional, right, Steve?
Right. Well, that was part of his code. Yeah.
Right. But did you hear him say you can name it anything you want? So Jeff Dutton, who was at the event, has it on his blog, which is startswithg.blogspot.com. And Jeff calls his just ... was here. And so you're able to drop your card just to say, I was on this blog.
I didn't even, for some reason that didn't connect.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Okay. All right.
He was able to put it on his blog. I haven't had time to try to put it on my TypePad blog yet, but I'm assuming I can. It's just code that you embed, one line of code, I think, isn't it?
It's just a little script. Yeah, just a JavaScript.
Yeah, script. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, it's pretty cool what you can do with this online identity technology called Business Card 2.
Yep.
Did they talk anything about monetization?
Yes,
how they're going to make money?
How did he answer that, Steve? I was busy with other things.
Yeah, he pretty much answered it that, to be continued. He made a joke about, well, wait a minute. I mean, isn't everything on the web free? It's all about the freemium model. In reality, they haven't come to that yet. I mean, they got to build a critical mass first.
Well, they do. And that's the job at hand right now. But I know for a fact they're talking to major publishers who are very interested in that find a professional feature that they can put on their site. And I know for a fact that Leaf told me he's been very busy with enterprise sales activity in the 2 weeks since we've been back from Silicon Valley, where we attended the Always On event. So he's been very tied up with that end of things as well. So that's where the revenue's got to be coming from down the line.
Well, and the one thing that I was really impressed by, he and I talked offline. There were like five of us standing there, and I asked him specifically about the question, questions around what's their approach to different aspects, that have privacy implications. And I thought he was going to go in one direction when I asked him about going and doing the rebuttal piece. But you know, where if somebody put something on your site, sort of rating you and or making a comment about your business that you, if you don't like it, you have the opportunity to rebut it. And how he would go about doing that, I thought was really, really impressive. You know, I don't want to forget Kelly Heikkilä, because I know that he's waiting for our call. How about if I patch him in now? Does that sound good?
Yeah, he's actually at in Mountain View, California. He went out there on behalf of Mixmobi, who was chosen to be part of their speed geeking event at the Read, Write, Start
Mobile Summit.
Mobile Summit. So
yeah, I want to hear about that. Right, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let me dial him in. We're actually going to call his phone now. I'm assuming it's his mobile phone.
Yeah, he's probably getting ready for lunch out there.
That could very well be.
He just finished a burrito, I think.
Hello, Kelly.
Kelly, it's all of us from Minovate. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm going to just try to get somewhere quiet here. So,
did you get some lunch, or are you just waiting to go to lunch?
Lunch will be in a little bit here. Finishing up a session. Lunch will start in about 15 minutes.
Are you at the, this is Graham. How you doing,
hey, Graham.
Kelly?
How are you?
Are you at the Microsoft campus?
No, we're at the Computer History Museum in Mountain
View. Oh, okay. Great. Right near the Googleplex, not too far from Google's headquarters.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
That's a great venue. I've been to events there.
So that close to Google, is there like money just blowing around out there or what?
There is, yeah. It's just, yeah, they've got people outside that are raking it up. Yeah. You know, it's just
crazy. How many people are at this event?
Actually, can you hold on a second here? I'm just going to get set up with a microphone so I can actually hear you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. We're going uptown here, ladies and gentlemen. We are going uptown in high tech.
Big doings.
Yeah, I just have these visions of Googleplex, just, you know, rooms full of money.
Okay, I'm back.
Excellent. There he is.
I'd say there's probably 150 people here.
Oh, yeah.
About the size of Unsummit. It actually has a feeling a lot like Unsummit. The venue sort of looks like the library. I think all three of you attended that, didn't you?
You bet.
I think the enthusiasm, it's an unconference like that as well. But the enthusiasm and discussions are similar. So.
Who is hosting it for Read, Write, Web? Is Marshall Kirkpatrick hosting or...?
Yep, Marshall is here. There's a whole slew of people here from Read, Write, Web. But yeah, Marshall's been doing a lot of the talking. Richard McManus, the CEO, is
Richard. Richard's there. That's great. Yep. All the way from New Zealand.
Yeah. So he did the keynote and talked through some of the sort of big trends in mobile right now, which sort of framed some of the discussions for the later sessions that we're having. So.
Well, tell us what you're up to out there. You know, what took you to Mountain View, and what's the plan for this afternoon?
Yeah, well, we got invited by Marshall, I believe, to come out here and present as part of their speed geeking session at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And there will be, I think there's 10 of us that are going to be sitting at different tables, and then all the attendees from the sessions each get a 5-minute slot to go to each of these 10 tables, and you have little numbers, and you start at one table. So it's sort of like musical chairs, and I pitch for 5 minutes, and then people move on, and then I pitch for 5 minutes again. And I think by the 10th group, I should have it down pretty well.
And then you put it on your business card, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's you know, interesting way to do it. Again, a lot of energy, keeping it to 5 minutes, keeps it quick, keeps people interested, and but also we get to expose Mixmobi to a lot of folks as well, which is great.
So what is the ultimate goal, Kelly, for your trip out there?
Well, two things. Obviously, to expose the greater world to the benefits of using Mixmovi, but also as a learning opportunity to really see how, what some very, very smart people are talking about, what they're doing in the mobile marketplace. I've been in sessions talking about how to market B2B mobile businesses. A lot of the stuff that you read and the different blogs is B2C, and that's what's getting a lot of the press. And obviously, there's a lot of volume and buzz and stuff around that. But the B2B businesses don't often get as much press and have some interesting challenges. So I thought that was helpful and educational for me. There was an international session that I attended this morning that was also very good. A lot of the discussion was facilitated by some journalists from South Africa and Latin America and France. And that was, again, very educational. I tweeted about one of the topics that we discussed, which was virtual currencies in emerging markets, which is something I just hadn't really occurred to me, and using mobile airtime as a virtual currency. So if you want to send somebody some money, you send them an SMS message with some airtime attached to that SMS message. They can take that to the corner store, where the corner store will exchange that for currency. So it's very interesting on that front as well. A lot of the interest that we've had in Mixmovi has been from South Asia, from Africa, from India, other parts of the world beyond the U.S. And so that was helpful for me to sort of get some context around what customers are looking for and where they're, those different countries and geographic regions are at technologically.
So, Kelly, I got a quick, this is Steve Borsch. I got a quick question related to that. On the customer side, on the demand side, what's happening relative to people asking you for HTML5 and sort of pushing you in that direction?
Well, there is a topic this afternoon about specifically about HTML5. In terms of Mixmovi, we are really striving to be able to provide offers to any phone, whether it's that has a data plan, whether it's your iPhone, an Android device, or an old Samsung feature phone from 1998. Yeah. And so for us, in terms of Mixmovi, that isn't really hitting us yet. That said, there's a lot of discussion around the rich applications that you're installing in your phone versus what can be done in HTML5. And obviously, more and more and more is going to be able to be done in HTML5 and may take away some of that momentum that the app developer side of the house has. It's interesting, at the beginning of the program, they raised their hands to talk about, because most of the people are technologists here, who's involved in applications versus web, mobile web, and a vast majority were applications. there's a lot of momentum around applications right now, but people see that HTML5 is coming and making a big difference. A couple of great examples of non-native applications, obviously Google Voice has a great HTML5 a near app experience. And there was another one that was talked about here, Bourbon, B-U-R-B-N, which I believe is in beta, and I think they're going to be talking about it a little later this afternoon as well. It's a mobile version of Foursquare done, again, in HTML5, so allowing some more compatibility with more devices, which is obviously a big selling point.
Interesting. Yeah, their site is still coming soon. That
kind of,
yeah.
Maybe they're going to turn it on this afternoon after the demo. But I don't. They showed a screenshot of it, and it did look very, very interesting. So. Huh. And then around video too is Flash. Everyone knows about the all the Flash controversies. So hopefully, making that easier for mobile devices to play more video. That's big as well.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, hopefully it'll be a good trip, and hopefully Google will throw a lot of money your way on the way out the door.
I'm gonna grab a rake on my way out here if I can get a garbage bag full or two myself.
does the event just go on through today? Is it just a 1 day event?
Yep, 1 day on conference. So I think we have six sessions plus the geek session that I discussed. So yeah, and again, on conference, so no set topics. Topics get moved around and merged and all that, but pretty wide ranging. A lot of forward looking discussions versus, you know, the reality of right now. And a lot of what Mixmobi is looking at a lot in monetizing some of what's going on in the mobile experience right now is not, you know, we can't look to, you know, 3 years from now where augmented reality is everywhere. We have to look at what devices are being used right now. So a lot of it is forward thinking, but it's exciting and energizing as a software developer.
I'm curious to know, have there been opportunities for networking? Is there going to be a reception at the end of the day, that type of thing?
The sessions themselves aren't really moderated. It's not one person standing up in front of the room. And so there have been some great, great networking opportunities just in the midst of a session. You know, people aren't, actively selling, but they're talking about what you're doing as a company versus what you're doing at a company and what you're seeing. And then, you know, at the end of it, it's like, oh, that was an interesting idea. Here's my business card. Here's my business card. And so I really enjoy that atmosphere where it's the networking and the sales part of it is part of a sort of a bigger discussion.
You bet. How about
it? And then of course there's drinks afterwards. So there's a bar nearby afterwards too.
Good. Do you think any angels or VCs are in attendance, or is it pretty much developers only?
Supposedly there are some here based on the registration list. So far, what I've been talking to, all the people I've been talking to have been technologists or writers.
Okay.
So that's been the audience I've experienced so far. Again, I should get a more wide variety of people at the geek session this afternoon. So, we'll see. Hopefully there's a couple.
Yeah, well, that's what's so great about events like this is the serendipity of running into people that you'd otherwise maybe never meet, you know. So, so mix it up and grab as many business cards as you can.
definitely doing that, definitely.
Yeah. Any sense that Android is picking up more steam than iPhone or iPad development?
Here, anyway, there's a lot of discussion about iPhone. There are a couple of topics about, lock-in. Those are this afternoon, so I haven't seen how well attended they are. But there's a lot of discussion around the iPhone itself. The sessions that I've been attending haven't really gone into that. That said, I did hear an interesting tidbit from a person from France, who has a development company in France, and apparently France is the second most popular iPhone, I don't know if that's per capita, country. But he said Android is nothing there compared to iPhone. He said it's all iPhone. He said, you know, a big part of that is that there's multiple carriers that are carrying the iPhone in a lot of the other countries outside of the United States. And he said, it's really all iPhone. And he said Android doesn't have nearly the penetration and press that it does in the U.S.
Interesting.
And that could obviously change.
Well, isn't it, for full disclosure, of course, I work with Mixmobi and some marketing and social media stuff. But tell us, Kelly, just briefly before we let you go, anything new for Mixmobi? What's the latest there?
We added, in terms of features, which are things that I love to talk about, we added a new feature called a list builder, which allows you to add a small field to the end of your offer where people can put their phone number and email in order to start building a list. That's something we've heard from a lot of our customers, is that Mixmobi is great, easy to use, fast, and create an offer, but I don't yet have a great list of people to send this out to. And so we want to enable features that allow people to do that, to really start creating good lists, to be able to send, to push offers out to, via SMS or via email, as well as social media and some of the avenues that we are currently doing. So that's a feature we actually pushed out last night and included in the platform. And we're also talking about a lot of other things. We had a lot of movement on our white label platform and a lot of our customers very, very interested in that. And we really want to get our white label platform down to a single click. If any of you are familiar with Shopify, which is I love it. It's an e-commerce solution. Are you guys familiar with Shopify at all?
Yeah, it's and so it's actually the best looking hosted service out there.
Yeah, no, it's really great. So it's white label e-commerce, and you put in your credit card number and say go, and it upload your logo, put your colors and things in, and it's ready to go. And that's really what we're striving for in terms of the white label side of our business, for marketing organizations and large organizations to be able to create mobile offers under their own brand without the Mixmobi software as a service platform. So a lot of work going on in that side of the business as well.
Very cool. Well, great. Listen, let's have a great time out there. Yeah. Enjoy yourself, and good luck on moving Mixmobi forward, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Having a great time, and I'll give you a full report when it's done.
Great.
Sounds great.
Thanks for being on, Kelly.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
So lots going on.
Yeah. Sounds folks. Like a great event.
That is good. So speaking of events, what else is happening moving forward in the next week?
Well, I my day isn't over for events yet. I have a second one. I'm going to drop into Matt Bauer's Pedal Brain office warming at 5 o'clock, kind of over near the U somewhere. So we're going to hear an update on what's going on with his product and application for competitive cyclists, which is I'm sure soon going to expand to other markets as well, but it's an iPhone app that uses an accessory to be able to monitor all the data that cyclists produce with the sensors they have on their bike and on their body and, you know, heart rate and everything else. And so that ought to be kind of fun. And so that's what I'm doing for at least a short time later on today.
And then you're going to swing back by the social media breakfast, a little soiree at Moto I, right? So you're just going
to... I can't do that because I have an alumni fraternity event I have to go to at the Dinah Country Club. But tell us about that event, because somebody was asking me at the Business Card 2 event earlier what that was all about. And I said, you know, I don't have it on my calendar because I can't make it. But
I think it's just a little soiree, a little gathering. The concept is to celebrate the 2,000 people that are part of social media breakfast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's not karaoke this time. It's just...
I don't believe so, no. But if it is, I can give you a call and you can do your rendition. You can come and do your rendition of Feelings.
Yeah, there you go. That would be good.
Singing.
Yeah, right.
Like Bill Murray used to do. Oh, God. Anyway. Yeah. So hey, are you guys going to that or?
No, I can't. We got doings tonight. But
I'm going to actually try and get over there. And you know, I've asked my wife to attend because she hasn't met half of these people. And I think there's a little bit of fear in her eyes. So.
Yeah, just get her one of those sockies and that'll take care.
Yeah, we'll get bombed.
Five of those sockies. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, look, I'm sorry. The one thing I did want to bring up is you know, get everybody's vibe on the FCC taking another run at regulating broadband service. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, they're talking about regulating ISPs basically like telecom companies, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, since they sort of took it on the chin with the Comcast deal, they're trying to get to a point where there's a little bit more oversight of the internet by the FCC, but not, you know, the extreme amount of oversight that they do have on some of the other, you know, wireless technologies, you know, radio and that sort of thing. So,
well, what they're trying, yeah, and of course I have no shortage of opinion on this matter.
Well, you know, that was why I was kind of bringing it up.
Let's bring
it to bear there, Bubba.
Well, so after they lost that court ruling, the FCC yes. with Comcast, and it was because it wasn't it, the ruling. A lot of people characterized it that you know, Comcast won and now they can do anything they want on the internet and the FCC has no power. That was not what it was about. It was a ruling. True, yeah. It was a ruling on the fact that the specific statute that was used to essentially slap Comcast's hands over BitTorrent, quote unquote, network management, was actually misapplied. I mean, that was really what the ruling was all about. So what ended up happening is that it sort of pulled the rug out from underneath the FCC relative to how they can manage what's doable and what's not allowed over broadband. So the whole point now is, and the plan that was released by the FCC chairman, whatever, Jenichkowski, I forget how you pronounce his last name.
Not sure.
Is to reclassify broadband services. So
yeah,
that's some of the common carrier rules, like what regulate the phones now, can be applied to broadband. And then, of course, and you've got, you know, Senator John Boehner coming out and saying it's, you know, a government takeover of broadband and, you know, it's all bad. I'm sure there'll be death panels now that you'll be be murdered by, you know, the internet or I don't know what, but it's a government, it's a government takeover. But the point is that, you know, reclassifying it as a Title II service means that then the FCC can essentially apply some of the rules that they've used in the past to make sure that the telecom companies didn't take control of all communications. And that's really it in a nutshell. And there's going to be a lot of debate back and forth and so on. But as you know, my opinion is that they need to, you know, it's not a free market because all the cable companies and all of the, anybody that's planted wires or towers has had federal, state, and municipal rights of way. Those skids have all been greased. And so, you know, they didn't suddenly come out of nowhere and were allowed to do this. They got a lot of help. And frankly, now, you know, I mean, we're talking over my Comcast connection and I have no other option. I mean, I got one option, period.
Well, no, that's not true. You do have other options, but the other options are so much more expensive. They're unattractive to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, Tim, I mean, it's, I have an option to ride a tricycle to the store, but.
Well, no, if you want to get your dedicated T1 or whatever connection, it's just a lot more expensive than the connection you have. But the cable company, and I should also disclose, I do work with Comcast occasionally here in the Twin Cities. They pay a lot of money in franchise fees in order to deliver their services. So it's not just that they were subsidized many years ago to put in all of the infrastructure. They've invested and continue to invest millions and millions of dollars to deliver the services.
Oh, I absolutely concur. I absolutely concur.
And it's completely open. If someone wants to come in and spend the kind of money that they would need to bury the infrastructure, you know, bring it on. There's nothing against that from a competitive perspective. It's just no one wants to make that sort of investment. What's interesting is how the dynamics will change when Clearwire hits town. And we'll see, you know, what that does, because that will offer, you know, at least DSL style services right over the air without any last mile problem.
Well, did you see also that WiMAX, or they're essentially walking away from WiMAX and heading toward LTE, which is 4G.
Yeah,
that makes
a lot of sense.
That's their future. That's their future.
Clearwire is walking away from WiMAX?
Yeah. I mean, essentially,
really?
So their strategic direction is shifting to LTE, which is long-term evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Is that what Sprint uses? Or wait, no, Sprint is in cahoots with Clearwire, aren't they?
Well, Sprint is behind Clearwire.
Yeah, or they're one of the major backers, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Right, and Clearwire is using the Sprint infrastructure.
Okay. Say, I heard today that we're going to have Sprint 4G in town here pretty soon.
Yep, they're coming to town, Clearwire. Same guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we can get a little Sprint MiFi card. That's 4G then pretty soon.
You could.
60 bucks a month, baby.
I'm going to skip the Verizon contract and wait for that then.
Nah, just jailbreak your iPhone and then you can connect your iPad.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, I guess.
I know. Well, you know what's funny, Tim? You and I ought to just do an hour-long podcast to go back and forth on this and on broadband, because you know, I'm torn because on the one hand, I think people should and organizations should be rewarded for investment and carving out a space and all of that. But at the same token, I lived in Illinois for a number of years, and in the Chicagoland area, the only way that they could get certain tollway or certain freeway, you know, highways built was to allow the privatization of that and private investment to build tollways. And yet the state and the state patrol, you know, they regulate what happens on that highway. I mean, they can't, you know, you couldn't like build a tollway and say, okay, in this right lane, you can drive drunk and 90 miles an hour. You know, they, because there are state and local laws that supersede that. And so they regulate what happens on those tollways, even though the money is used as, you know, as profit and also reinvestment in the highway. And it's the same thing with this, with respect to the net. And what I come down to is when you have a company like Comcast getting 51% of their gross revenue from cable television, and potentially the other 4% of advertising comes through that, and they do the 250 gig cap as a way to keep competitive video offerings out, and they come up with this authentication scheme that means that you can't watch a show over the internet if they offer it through cable TV and you don't subscribe. You just won't be able to watch it. And they want to build that into all the software and so on. So they want to control what happens on the transport. And so anyway, I go back and forth on this all the time. And yet you're going to say, well, gee, Steve, you just did a post today on Apple's success and it's okay for them to control what's happening on their platform. So, you know, I'm pure as a driven snow, like the snow I drift.
Yeah. Hey, anyway. That's a good one. I haven't heard that before. And we're going to have that snow drifting tonight.
Oh, well, let's hope not. No, don't even go there. Hey, can I just mention something? Because it just happened today. Today is the first full day. And this is something that anybody that's a startup might be able to take advantage of. It's a service called Talk to Me, TOKTUMI, and it's not a Minnesota company, but you know, if you're a startup or a small business, or, you know, I'm thinking about Coco MSP, you know, any of these organizations, for $15 a month. Now I was paying $25 a month to Vonage for a direct phone number, which is fine, 'cause I could just forward it to my Skype in line or my cell phone. And I get an email with voicemail. Unfortunately, it was a WAV file, so I couldn't play it on my iPhone. And I started investigating Talk to Me. Well, David Pogue in the New York Times about a month ago did a post about Line 2, this iPhone app that uses the Talk to Me service. And they had something like 1,000 signups in an hour. And then some script kiddies got on there and started signing up accounts and basically brought them to their knees. So they had to kind of redo everything. But the point is that you can set it up just like Vonage, just forwards to your phone. So you have simultaneous ringing occurring and you'll get your phone call anywhere you are. But more importantly, you can have up to 9 other numbers in a direct dial tree. So welcome to Minnovate, showcasing Minnesota innovation. And if you'd like to speak to Graham Thickens, please press 1. Phil Wilson, press 2. Tim Elliott, press 3. Steve Borsch, press 4. And it would ring our respective phones wherever we were. And takes voicemail, and you get an MP3 by voicemail. You can use the Line 2 app. And if you're in a Wi-Fi zone, you can make calls over Wi-Fi. If you're in the cell service, you can make calls over the cell service. And here's why that's good. Because if I call you right now on my iPhone and I'm in VoIP or on the cell service, the caller ID you see is my direct business line, not my mobile number. So it's got some just really terrific advantages. Anyway, the punchline is we're going to switch over our company to it. And I'm going to be able to take our telephony costs down by about $150 a month.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. No kidding.
Well played, my friend. Well played.
So I'll put something in the show notes about it, but it's, I just wanted to mention it because there's so many people I talk to that want to find ways to virtualize what they're doing. You know, they're a group that's got, you know, 3 developers and they're all over the Twin Cities, or maybe they're even in other states or other countries for that matter. Oh, and you can also, oh my God, I'll shut up. You can also have,
nah, not going to happen.
You can also have a contact list with personal and business accounts, numbers. And so you can let your personal numbers come through at all hours, but your business ones, roll to voicemail, you know, after 5 o'clock, you know, after hours or on the weekends. And you can have a separate voicemail set up for that. I mean, it's just, it's really, and it's $15 a month. I mean, it's just, and they have a little app for the Windows and Mac, a little Talk to Me app that you can run and you can forward calls. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And it's a pretty substantial startup, isn't it? That's been well funded. Is it based in the Bay Area?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've got some big backers behind them.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
So ostensibly it's not going to go away real soon.
No,
we like to think.
Right. Right. And then they also have a fax line for $10 and you can get an 800 number for $10 a month. So, you know, I'm kind of the king of doing, you know, sort of champagne on a beer budget, looking like you're bigger than you really are. And this is one of the things where just sort of takes that professionalism up to the next notch. So mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Cool. Yeah.
So are you still using Google Voice at all for anything?
That's what I was going to ask.
You know, I the only thing I use it for is I've got it on my, on iConnectDots.com. I've got a call me button and it rolls directly to voicemail. And then if somebody leaves a voicemail, it comes to me as a
text
MP3. Yeah. And it also MP3. Comes as a text. Yeah. And that's really the only thing I use it for. I've been frankly waiting for them to do Gizmo 5, to do something with Gizmo 5. By the way, can I just tell you guys one other thing that I think is amazing? And this is a huge opportunity. Maybe I shouldn't say anything about it, but there isn't anything on the net anywhere available to have multiple Skype in lines, for example. So there's no box you can buy where you can run, say, 5 separate accounts. There are base stations that you can plug into your router and then have cordless phones. So you could essentially have maybe a couple of lines, but it's, you know,
just get 4 or 5 half height servers and just set up different, you know, run Linux on it or whatever. That's easy.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then just run 5 separate servers for your 5 separate Skype accounts.
Sure. Set up your own data center.
Sure. We should do that for the Minivate Gang podcast, like Leo Laporte does, and we can have video cameras. Yeah. And
put a windmill in the backyard to run that sucker. And baby.
How about that?
Hey, did you see where Google bought 2 wind farms in North Dakota?
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
They did. They bought 2 little wind farms.
Hey, have they announced their fast internet city yet?
No.
They're what now?
The winner.
Duluth was up for this Google city.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
They haven't announced that yet, have they? And there was nothing on the website is like when they're going to do it. It's just the nominations closed, I think, in, was it April something?
How many applied? I never heard. Is a ton, I'll bet.
I'm just looking at it right now. Over 600 communities. Wow. And 190,000 people are desperate for Google Fiber. Which city will be lucky enough?
I don't know. Which one?
So the city-wise ranking, Duluth, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Topeka, Kansas, Fresno, California, Sarasota, Florida, blah, blah, blah. But they don't have when they're going to do it.
They've got, how do you mean ranking? Meaning the size of the city or how many people joined in?
Let's see.
Did they just list them as examples, you mean, that applied? Or
because, I mean, it's kind of nice if Duluth is on top. You got to that.
Yeah, if they were a finalist, that would be a huge deal right there.
You know what? It's the size of the city.
Oh, okay.
So it's the number. It's a population size.
Yeah.
So I think.
So it was only open to certain population ranges.
Yeah, it was. They would. Yeah, I think they. I can't remember what it was, but you can check out the Minivate article on it if you'd like.
There you go.
Anywho,
good.
So lots going on and more to come next week, right? We've got, what do we got next week? We got anything going on next week?
Events.
I have a dentist appointment on Wednesday.
A dentist appointment. That's good. So we'll all gather around the nitrous oxide tank.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm meeting with a couple of folks from GIST in Seattle, the cool startup uses email to connect you with all your, you know, to learn what's going on with your whole network. It's a pretty cool, company. They're in town to attend some event for sales professionals. And so my buddy Buzz Brueggemann out in Seattle suggested, since they were in Minneapolis, that they hook up with me. And I've been using GIST and liking it and have met the founder, T.A. McCann, who's a former Microsoft guy that headed the Exchange business. And he has presented Steve at Defrag. At that conference in Denver, and he was funded by one of the VCs there. And so it'll be kind of fun to get an update from these two folks. I think it's their marketing and sales, head of sales and head of marketing, that I'm going to be meeting with. So
fine.
I forgot about this one. And of course I posted about it today, but I thought it was week after next on Minovate. Quick post about how Google, Bing, and national experts on internet marketing are going to be presenting at the Westin Edina Galleria. Getlisted.org is doing the seminar, and there's a discount code. It's normally $129. You can get in for $49 if you put Minovate in the registration.
Is it about like SEO and stuff like that, or
What's interesting, if you want, is you can go to getlisted.org and actually put your business name in there and your zip code and see how you're listed at all these different search engines. So,
Got to do that.
Yeah. Yep. So
very cool. Well, big doings. Listen, everybody, have a great weekend.
You too, pal.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yeah. And it'll be a nice day on Sunday for Mother's Day, we hope, after a couple of rainy days here.
So next time, I think we ought to do what I suggested in the email, is we ought to have the wives go ahead and do this for Mother's Day.
No, it'll get
ugly. We have them do that for Father's Day. What would be good?
I don't think that's going to work.
No. No, somehow I don't see my wife. No.
Geeking out?
No. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. No.
All righty.
All right, gentlemen.
It was a good thought anyway, Phil.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Take care.
Thanks, you too. All. Have a good week.
Bye. Over and out. Letters ain't coming that much anymore. Your letters ain't coming at all. I've been to Rome, 'cause you were here, I came back home. Now I ain't trying to place any blame, but I came
becoming so clear that your feet are planted deep.